For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
I'm delighted to have our emeritus guiding teacher, Tygen Dan Layton, here to share with us the vast and wondrous Dharma of Dogen's expressing the dream within the dream. Is that the translation?
Yes.
Shobo Genzo, Mu Chu Setsumu, something like that.
Yes.
Thank you, Tygen.
Thank you very much, Hogetsu. Welcome, everyone. So yesterday afternoon on the Ancient Dragon Zoom, I did an online 3.5-hour seminar on this essay by Dogen, Muchu Setsumo, Within a Dream, Expressing a Dream. And so I also talked about how dreams are understood in Japanese and East Asian Buddhism, or some of that. So I'm going to do a short version of what I talked about yesterday, this morning, and try and leave some time for a little discussion. So the essay that I talked about from Dogen Shobo Genzo, Muchu Setsumo in Japanese, Within a Dream, Expressing a Dream, sometimes it's been translated as In a Dream, Talking About Dreams or Speaking of Dreams, but really Setsu, that character, means speaking and talking, but it also means expounding or expressing. And Dogen was the founder of Japanese Soto Zen, which from 1200 to 1253, for those who are not familiar with Dogen. And he emphasized very much not just Zazen and realizing the ultimate, but expressing it, how we express and share the teaching and the practice in our everyday activity. So this setsu in this case means within a dream expressing the dream. And it's a long essay with lots of interesting, juicy stuff in it, but I'm going to read some of the highlights. And one of the main points of this essay is that as opposed to the idea that awakening or enlightenment is awakening from dreams, that Dogen says that we must express the dreams within the dreams. So he does not reject the dream world or the world of phenomena as opposed to the world of ultimate or universal truth. So this is a clear emphasis in all of his teaching, and it's basic Mahayana Buddhist teaching, Bodhisattva teaching, that nirvana is right in samsara. We are practicing not as a, not only as a self-help or self-improvement method, but for the sake of, for the purpose of awakening all beings. So that the dream world, which is, so one of the things that Dogen does regularly in his teachings, voluminous teachings, is to undercut conventional, even Buddhist conventional teaching. So the conventional understanding that awakening is to awaken from dreams, here he's talking about right amid dreams, amid delusion, is the place of awakening. So I'm going to just read some of the many examples of how he says this in this essay, and then I want to say a little bit about how dreams were understood in East Asian Buddhism, and particularly in Dogen's period called the Kamakura period, in the basically in the 13th century, a little before and after. Okay, so Dogen says in this essay, and this is from the translation I did with Kaz Tanahashi a long time ago, that in the realm of Buddha ancestors, there is the active power of Buddha going beyond Buddhas. So this is related to this because it's not a awakening or enlightenment, however you want to translate that, is not a matter of some one-time experience and then you're done. Buddha continued practicing an awakening throughout his lifetime. And Buddha is an ongoing reality and practice that we continue in 2024, 2,500 some years after Shakyamuni, the historical Buddha in northeastern India, that Buddha is alive. Okay, so this is an introduction to him saying, within a dream, this is the dream you express. Because awakening is seen within awakening, the dream is expressed within a dream. The place where the dream is expressed within a dream is the land and the assembly of Buddha ancestors. The Buddha's lands and their assemblies, the ancestors' way and their seats, are awakening throughout awakening. He continues, every dewdrop manifested in every realm is a dream. So I didn't mention this yesterday, but there's an old Buddhist teaching that goes, merrily, 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 life is but a dream. And this is what Dogen is talking about, that dreams or delusions are not the opposite of awakening. Awakening happens in delusion. Dogen says in his early essay, Genja Koan, that deluded people are deluded about awakening. Awakened people are awakened to their delusion. So every dewdrop manifested in every realm is a dream. So the phenomenal world is not something to be transcended, but it is where we practice, where we express the dream within a dream. He says also, do not mistake this as merely dreamy. It's not, just some delusive, dreamy kind of thing. It's actually the heart of our awakening. Again, he says, the expressing of the dream within a dream is all Buddhas. All Buddhas are wind and rain, water and fire. We respectfully maintain these names of Buddhas and also pay homage to those names of our other Buddhas. To express the dream within a dream is the ancient Buddhas. So a lot of Zen teaching is about sayings from or referring to the words and actions of the Buddha ancestors, all the different Buddhist practitioners and teachers who keep still and will keep still Buddha alive. So a few more of these references. There are inner dream expressions of dreams, and dreams inside. Without being within a dream, there is no expression of dreams. Without expressing dreams, there's no being within a dream. Without expressing dreams, there are no Buddhas. So this kind of rhetoric where he turns words around is typical of a lot of what Dogen says, particularly in Shobo Genzo. He adds, furthermore, going beyond the Dharma body, the ultimate Dharma of all phenomena, Dharmakaya, is itself expressing the dream within a dream. So, there's so much more in this essay, but this is the encounter of a Buddha with a Buddha. So, some more of how Dogen expresses this in this essay. A thing of suchness expresses the dream within a dream. A person of suchness expresses the dream within a dream. So suchness is a way of talking about reality, just this reality, this phenomenal reality that we experience, that we engage. Suchness is another way of talking about emptiness. Emptiness is to see the emptiness of all all entities that we believe are substantial. Emptiness also means just the relativity, the interrelatedness of all things. And the teaching of Indra's net and of Huayan Buddhism that some of you know about is the undercurrent of all of this and all of Soto Zen. So Dogen says here, a thing of suchness, a thing that that is all of reality, expresses the dream within a dream. A person of suchness expresses the dream within a dream. A thing beyond suchness expresses the dream within a dream. A person beyond suchness expresses the dream within a dream. This understanding has been acknowledged as crystal clear. What is called talking all day long about a dream within a dream is no other than the actual expression of the dream within a dream. So, again, we might understand awakening practice, Buddhist practice, the Buddhist teaching as something that is separate from this dream world, this phenomenal world. But actually, that's the place of awakening. That is where assemblies of Buddhas, sanghas like this, appear. So, we are enjoying this dream of ancient dragon Zen Gate here in Chicago and all the people online. I see people from a number of places. Anyway, this is all a dream. And it's exactly this dream that we awaken into, and that all the Buddhas awaken into, and express. It has to be not just realized or understood, but actually put into practice. How do we express the deeper reality that we get a glimpse of, at least in Zazen and in longer sittings? How is that expressed to help awaken all beings within this dream? So, some more of this. Dogen continues, making one brief utterances beyond understanding and beyond knowing is the expression of the dream within a dream. As the expression of the dream within a dream is the thousand hands and eyes of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, Avalokiteshvara, who functions by many means, the power of seeing colors and sounds and hearing colors and sounds is fully maintained through this dream. The manifesting body is the expression of the dream within a dream. Our body, your body, my body, is the manifestation of a dream within a dream, Dogen says. The expression of dreams and of myriad aspects of dreams are the expression of the dream within a dream. Taking hold and letting go are the expressions of the dream within a dream. Directly pointing is expressing the dream. Hitting the mark is expressing the dream. So all of this activity in our phenomenal world, all of our life, is expressing the dream within a dream. And he mentions here the Bodhisattva of Compassion, of Avalokiteshvara, Kanzeon in Japanese, Kanon, Wanyin in Chinese. This is the Bodhisattva of Compassion who appears in many forms for the benefit of different kinds of beings. One of the main forms that he refers to a little later on is a Bodhisattva figure. There's an image of this, I think, in the practice room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with 1,000 hands. And each hand has an eye. And each of these hands, many of these hands have tools, teaching staffs, or lassos to corral difficult customers, or vases full of nectar and ambrosia to dispense to people. Many, 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 many different tools, all of which are to help awaken beings within this dream. we are dreaming. And this dream, again, is not separate from awakening, from Bodhi, from our awakening, but it is a dream within a dream. So there's so much in this essay. Maybe I'll mention again at the end, but if anyone wants to get a recording of the 3.5 hours about this yesterday, you can still sign up and get a recording of it. He goes on. There's a whole section I mentioned yesterday about, in this essay, about justice and about Buddhist sense of justice and balance and how we find our balance and the balance scale. So I talked about that a little bit yesterday. But to continue with this, with some of his sayings here, Dogen says, there is no liberation other than the expression of the dream within a dream. That's pretty strong stuff. There's no liberation other than expression of the dream within a dream. The dream is the entire great earth. The entire great earth is stable, is steady, is balanced. Thus, the inexhaustibility of turning the head and pivoting the brain, actualizing freedom, is just your awakening of the dream within a dream, identifying with and actualizing the dream within a dream. So it's not enough to, well, you know, and maybe we need to start by just hearing the teaching. We start by just, in our tradition, sitting zazen, doing this upright sitting where we enjoy our inhale, exhale, sit and face the wall, face our reality, see all the dreams that arise as we stare in the wall, at the wall, hear all the sounds that arise in this dream, the people going by, our thoughts going by, our feelings arising and passing away. All of this is the expression of the dream within the dream. And this is also about taking personal responsibility for how we enjoy and appreciate and understand our life. So we express the dream within the dream. The next section is a long passage from the reports from the Lotus Sutra, one of Dogen's favorite sutras. And I'll read this, a little bit of this. And this is a quote from the end of chapter 14 of the Lotus Sutra. All Buddhas with bodies of golden hue, splendidly adorned with 100 auspicious marks, hear the Dharma and expound it, express it for others. Such is the fine dream that ever occurs. In the dream, you are made king, then forsake palaces and household entourage, along with utmost satisfaction of the five sense desires, and travel to the site of practice under the Bodhi tree, where awakening happens. So this is referencing the story about the life of Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha, around 500 BC roughly, in what's now northeastern India, who was sheltered as a child in his father's palace, and did not know about suffering, and finally went out and explored the world and saw the suffering of the world and let go of his privilege and tried to help awaken all beings and did awaken under the Bodhi tree. So this is the story that the Lotus Sutra is telling, and it says this is a fine dream. So Dogen is citing the Lotus Sutra as a way of talking about expressing the dream within a dream. A little after that, he says, this dream of Buddhas is not an analogy, and that Chinese character could be translated as a metaphor or a parable. There are many parables in the Lotus Sutra. So the dream of Buddhas, the dream of awakening, is not a mere story or a parable or a metaphor for something. This, he says, as the wondrous Dharma of all Buddhas is mastered only by a Buddha together with a Buddha, all Dharmas awakened in the dreams, all Dharmas awakened in the dream are genuine forms. In awakening, there are aspiration, practice, awakening, and nirvana. which is talked about, those four talked about in the Lotus Sutra a lot. He says within the dream there are aspiration, awakening, practice, awakening, and nirvana. Every awakening within a dream is the genuine form without regard to large or small, superior or inferior. And this phrase he uses, only by a Buddha, together with a Buddha, is a passage from another chapter in the Lotus Sutra that talks about only Buddhas can together, face to face with each other, understand, fathom the depths of this awakening and this expression of awakening. So, again, Dogen uses many references, and there are many more in this essay, to classic Zen and Buddhist teachings. Awakening, a little further, he says, awakening and dreaming are from the beginning one suchness, a genuine reality. The Buddha Dharma, even if it were a metaphor or parable, is the genuine reality, as it is not a mere analogy. In the dream, one becomes king, and then lets go of that and becomes and is Buddha. A few more passages, and then I want to talk about how dreams were understood in Dogen's time and in East Asian Buddhism generally. The Buddha's path of transforming this world of suffering throughout his lifetime is indeed created in a dream. So, again, we're referring back to this quote from the Lotus Sutra. He says, as it is said that all Buddhas with bodies of golden hue, splendidly adorned with 100 auspicious marks, we can directly realize beyond any doubt that this dream is itself all Buddhas with bodies, all of us. Although within awakening, the Buddha's transformations never cease, the Buddha ancestors' emergence is itself the creation of a dream within a dream. So he hammers home the points in this essay, and there's a lot more that I can't get to in this time frame, but the point is that this world of dreams, this world we dream of, is where we awaken. And I'm tempted to mention, so I will, that there's a dream coming up of an election, and we can express this dream within the dream, and please vote. I want to talk, though, somewhat about dreams and how dreams were understood in Dogen's time, which was the Kamakura period in Japan in the 1200s, but also throughout East Asian Buddhism. And this goes back to stories about dreams in the folklore and in the lore of East Asian Buddhism. And there are many, 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 many of these stories, so I'm going to share a few of them just to give you a sense of how people then thought about dreaming. So we have some psychologists here who can talk about how dreams are and dreaming are understood now in our modern times. But in East Asia, and I think before that in India, dreams were very important. A number of examples. So the night before Dogen arrived, so Dogen traveled to China from Japan, where he came from, and spent 4 years in China, 1223 to 1227, looking around for a teacher to help him really awaken into awakening and express dreams within a dream. Maybe he didn't understand it that way yet, but he finally found his teacher, Chantong Rujing, a in Chinese, Tendo Nyojo in Japanese, at Mount Chiantong. And that was the teacher who, from whom Dogen received transmission and received full awakening, and continued and then brought that back to Japan and started what we call, what's called in Japanese, Seto Zen, which is the tradition that this temple is part of. So, Ruching, the night before Dogen happened to arrive at his monastery, Ruching had a dream. And in this dream, Dongshan Liangjie, Tozan, who was the founder of the Chinese lineage of Soto, Saotong is called in Chinese, Ruching had a dream that Dongshan appeared to him and said, hey, there's a foreigner coming who's really, I don't know exactly what he said, but he's really cool and you should really pay attention to him. And the next day, Dogen arrived, who was Japanese. So Ruching really paid attention to Dogen, and Dogen had unusual access to Ruching compared to most of the monks in the monastery. So that's one dream that was important. And Dogen had some other dreams in China that were important. So many of these. There's a person named Gunabhadra. He's not in our Zen lineage that we chant, but he used to be in early Chan Chinese lineages. He was before Buddha Bodhidharma, who's the founder of Zen, called the founder of Zen Chan in China. Gunabhadra lived 394 to 468. He arrived in China around 435 from India, where he was from, and he wanted to spread the Dharma, the teaching, to China, but he was really upset because he couldn't speak Chinese or understand Chinese or express himself in Chinese to the Chinese people who he wanted to help with his practice. But he had a dream in which somebody chopped off his head and gave him a new head. And then the next morning he woke up and he suddenly understood Chinese and could express himself in Chinese. And maybe in a later incarnation he was Tom Cleary or something, I don't know. But Gunabhadra ended up translating Lankavatara Sutra. He was also a scholar of Prajnaparamita and Huayan. So whether or not you believe such dreams, and that Gunabhadra understood Chinese overnight, this is how East Asian people thought about dreams. And there's another dream about an execution. This is from also from early in China. So there was this is about a general. This was in the Northern Wei Dynasty, 386 to 535. His name was Sun Jingde, and he was captured by an invading army, and his enemies were going to execute him. And the night before his sentence was going to be carried out, he had a dream. And this dream that Sun Jingde had was a Buddhist monk appearing, and he taught him to recite a sutra to Avalokiteshvara, Anzeon, the Bodhisattva of Compassion. It's one that we chant here sometimes. The Enmei Juku Kanongyo, Anzeon, Namibutsuyo, Tsuyin. It's a short sutra. In the dream, this monk taught Sun Jingde this chant, and he chanted it 100 times when he woke up. And then he went to be executed, and the executioner's sword bounced off his neck. And the executioner tried 3 times to cut off his head, but it was unsuccessful. So his captors decided, well, I guess he's not supposed to be executed. And he went home, and he went to his home altar where he had an image of Guan Yin, the Bodhisattva of Compassion, and this image had 3 nicks on its neck. Okay, this is, these stories you can take literally or not, But this was how people then thought about dreams. Dreams were the access point for bodhisattvas. And there's so many more of these stories, but this one is a little longer, and I'll tell it, and we can have discussion. This is from Dogen's time, early 13th century, 1200s, in Japan. And this is about a town called Sukuma in what's now Nagano Prefecture, where there was a medicinal hot spring. And one of the townsmen had a dream in which a voice announced to him that Avalokiteshvara, Kannon, the Bodhisattva of Confession, would come to the town square the next day. The dreamer asked in the dream how he would know it was Kannon, and the voice described a scruffy 30-ish-year-old warrior on horseback. So this townsman went around to this small town and told everybody about this dream that he'd had about the Bodhisattva of Compassion. And so everybody gathered at the appointed time in the town square because they were expecting Kannon to come. And instead, this samurai warrior appeared, kind of like described in the dream, and everybody started prostrating themselves, doing full bows to this samurai. And he said, "What's going on? What are you doing?" And they just continued prostrating themselves. Finally, a priest came and told him that there had been this dream that he would appear. Well, Avalokiteshvara would appear in his form. And, you know, the samurai just explained that he'd fallen and injured himself, and he'd come to the medicinal hot springs for healing. But they kept continuing making prostrations. And the healing that occurred, after a while, the samurai had the thought that, well, maybe he actually was Kannon, the Bodhisattva of Compassion. And the story goes that he decided to become a monk. So he put down his sword and shield by the hot springs. And was ordained by a famous priest. So we don't know anything more historically about this former samurai priest, but this is the power of dreams, the way dreams were understood in Dogen's time. So there's many more stories like this of people accessing bodhisattvas in dreams. And just to mention, Dogen had various dreams also, but in Dogen's lifetime, there was a monk named Nyoe, this fascinating figure. He was both Shingon, or Vajrayana, and Kegon, or Wayanapa Tomsaka school monk, and he kept a 35-year dream diary in which many bodhisattvas and Buddhist figures appeared to him, and modern Jungian psychologists appreciate this as one of the first really comprehensive self-reflective dream diary. Also, the second founder of Soto Zen, Keizan, a few generations after Dogen, had a very strong relationship with dreams. He used his dreams to find the sites of the temples that he built and to ordain people. So anyway, there's lots more to say about this, but I'll stop there. I think we have a little bit of time for questions or discussions about dreams and this dream that we're having right now and how to awaken within dreams, and that awakening is exactly something that happens in the phenomenal world. Dogen talks about awakening within awakening and being in delusion throughout delusion. And the point isn't to get rid of delusions or dreams. The point is to express awakening right in the dream of our everyday activity in life. So that's a little bit about this essay. Questions, comments, reflections, or if you want to share any dreams you've had, bodhisattvas.
I had a dream this morning.
What did you dream?
This is weird. I just was remembering it as you were talking. So I had a dream. I was in this zendo, not this sendo, but kind of like this sendo. I couldn't find an exit. I go back in. I'm like, I guess I'm here the rest of the day. And all of these people from Minnesota started singing hymns to Vairochana Buddha.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I'm so happy I stayed.
Wow. Well, you know,
because all these Minnesotans from, you know, Plaza Water. So.
Well, there were people from
maybe
Minnesota.
Maybe we should start singing hymns to Vairochana here.
Well, but I didn't mention Vairochana. There's a whole section about Vairochana. Okay. In this essay, Uchu Setsumo. So I could talk more about Vairochana, who's the Buddha, who is the entire world, not just this world, all worlds, the whole universe, and all the other universes that we don't know about. This is the aspect of Buddha. So there's the historical Buddha, Shakyamuni from Northeast India, 500 BC, more or less. And then the Vairochana Buddha is, there's a whole thing about Vairochana Buddha in this essay.
Yeah.
Which is, that's in the show. Yeah. I haven't even
looked at this for years. You know, yeah. I knew you were going to talk about this.
Yeah, he talks about Vairochana.
So you're singing hymns of Vairochana.
Well, and he talks about, okay, so Dogen does this lots of times. He takes some conventional idea and turns it inside out. So like that, you know, the idea that awakening is awakening from a dream. No, it's awakening within the dream. And he also talks about putting a head on top of your head. You heard that expression?
Yes,
it's a common sense expression. And usually it's understood that this means doing something extra. It's unnecessary. But Dogen says, no, that's exactly what we should do, is to place the head above the head. And he said it's actually above the head, the crown of Vairochana. So he talks a lot about this, placing a head above the head, as a kind of example of a dream within a dream, and expressing the dream within a dream. And in November, I'm going to do another seminar on another essay that's related to this, called A Painting of a Rice Cake. And it starts from an old Zen saying that a painting of a rice cake does not satisfy hunger, okay? And usually that's understood to mean that, you know, just the finger pointing to the moon is not the moon, for example, or that some understanding or some expression or some beautiful scroll about the Buddha realm is not real, the real thing. However, in his essay, Painting of a Rice Cake, that I'm going to talk about extensively in November, Dogen ends up, so I'm, spoiler alert, Dogen ends up saying that a painting of a rice cake is exactly what satisfies hunger.
Yeah.
And you cannot satisfy hunger without a painting of a rice cake. And then he talks about painted hunger and painted satisfaction. So anyway, this is what Dogen does. He turns inside out our conventional understandings, including conventional Buddhist understandings. So thank you for sharing your dream, Hobson. That's really very auspicious.
Invoking it.
So other comments, questions, reflections, responses, please feel free. And people online as well. Yes, Dylan.
So I have a dream and a question. I'll share the dream first. I don't have dreams terribly often, but I had a dream like 2 weeks ago. It was very short, where I was in school. I'm training to become a teacher, like doing on-site training in a middle school. And my dream was that the classroom was full of kids, and I asked them to do something, and then I turned in the other direction, and then I turned back, and all of them were gone. And I initially thought of this as a stress dream of, like, you know, that they're it's you know, beyond my control or something I can't have control over or beyond my grasp. But I'm also thinking today that it might be, you know, about how they're all growing up. You know, that, like, I'm going to form all these relationships with these kids this year, and they're all going to feel like my kids, and then they're going to go off to high school, and then they're going to leave the school, and then it's going to be like that every year.
Well, I have another interpretation of your dream.
Okay, go for it.
That you ask them to do something, And then he turned away, and then he turned back, and they were all gone.
Yeah.
Because they went to do it. I don't know.
That's possible, too.
Just maybe. An idea. So you were missing.
So it's one that's sticking with me, and the meanings change with it the more it hangs out with me. My question is about delusion in dreams, and I'm curious for Dogen's time, if there's a difference between the conception of delusion and dream. And I know in our contemporary American society, there's an aspect of hopefulness in dreams, and how much of that is in Dogen's conception of a dream, or is there more of a sort of multi-universe psychedelic? That's what I'm hearing more, is that it has more of the, like, you know, Star Trek angle of, like, oh, we just found ourselves in this other universe and we're still ourselves, and so we guess we got to make the best of it kind of approach.
Yeah. So, but the first one you said was the dream. So
in your talk, the word delusion and dream, to my ears, were used almost interchangeably, and I'm wondering if at that time what the differences between conceptions of delusions and dreams were.
And if hope was, you know, if we have a dream, that's like a hope.
Yeah.
And did they think of dreams as wishes? That word, you know.
Oh, wishes and hopes.
Well, what, you know, like, what? I have a dream for the future.
Yeah, because, and you know. Yeah, like Dr. King, I have a dream. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure, but it is clear that dreams was a place of access. Mm-hmm. For connection with bodhisattvas, with awakening beings, mm-hmm. with inspiring figures, with people. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, people had these dreams of these great awakening beings showing up for them. And so Rujing had this dream of about there's some foreigner who's going to come. And it turned out to be Dogen. So I think they did see these dreams as... There's so many
like
stories.
Portals to the spiritual world,
or
to worlds beyond material existence, maybe.
Yeah. So I don't
know.
So
the Star Trek angle.
Well, both. Both. But the word delusion, we think of that as negative. But very much this is not about delusions are negative. Delusion is a way of talking, one way that Buddhism traditionally talks about the phenomenal world.
How we imagine things to be.
Yeah, well, there's a whole, I could give a whole talk about Yogacara and how we, this aspect of Buddhism that sees the mind as projecting. And Dogen says that to carry yourself forward and experience myriad things, that's delusion. When you project yourself, your ideas of yourself, your ego onto the world, that's what delusion is. That beings together awaken is what awakening is. Mm-hmm. When beings realize awakening them together, that includes us. So it's about seeing ourselves as part of a bigger whole rather than just it's me, you know, and I'm the king of the world or whatever, you know, some politician may think, you know. It turns inside out, though, our usual idea of delusion and reality. Reality includes everything. So William Blake,
yeah.
Anything that can be imagined is an image of the truth. So all of our dreaming is actually the expression of the realm of awakening. That's one way to say it. So maybe we're out of time, but...
A few minutes of someone online.
Yeah, does anyone online
Matthew,
have any...
It looks like has...
Oh, Matthew, go ahead. Hi.
It's a short question, but I'll keep the tradition and share a dream first. I've been vegan over half my life, but started before that as vegetarian. While I've been wrestling with ethics of food, I actually was having more and more vivid dreams that were food dreams. And there would just be a sense of who was with me at each table. It would be a different set of family or friends. And very vividly picturing the plate in front of me and thinking about the food as I eat it, of how it was prepared and what went into it and how. And so all of my first recipes, when I then decided, okay, now it's time, were ones that I dreamt. So that's my dream story.
So that is cooking the dream within the dream.
Yes.
And then bringing it into our meals.
Yeah. And
so
incorporating the dream.
And the question is, so I know that in Tibetan traditions, they teach dream yoga. They teach the practice within dreams. Is there a parallel in Zen? Or
well, yeah, not. It, there are many, many spiritual traditions around the world where there's kind of shamanic dreaming, where there's dreaming that is encouraged as a way of seeing something, of awakening to something. I'm sorry, I have to think, I remembered another dream from Japan, that a story of a dream. This is happened in Nara, the ancient capital, which has this beautiful pond near Kofukuji. It's one of my favorite places in the world. But there's a story about a guy in the town who dreamed that at a certain time a dragon would arise from this pond. And so similarly, there's more to the story than this, but at some point the townspeople gathered at the pond. And there was somebody who was poo-pooing the dream, but anyway, they gathered and a dragon did arise and fly off into the sky. So anyway, there are dreams of food and dreams of animals are common. But yeah, you mentioned Tibetan Buddhism, and there's a dream yoga that they encourage. And I'm thinking of Yaki Way of Knowledge and Don Juan and Carlos Castaneda's books, where he talks about dream practice of trying to produce dreams or invoking dreams. In East Asian Buddhism, there are some practices of encouraging dreams in Shingon and Kegon, but it's not as developed, as far as I know. Paul Kopp was here, and he might have been able to describe this, but I don't know that there's a formal practice in Japan, but there's definitely an acknowledgement of the importance of dreams. Mm-hmm. And dreaming about, Hogetsu dreaming about something that was going to be in what I was going to talk about this morning without her knowing it, I mean, there you go. So,
you know, I remember Paul Haller once said that in Southeast Asian Theravadan Buddhism, that dreaming stops when you attain greater awakening, which I think is interesting. Like, I wondered if this was also this Dogen Mahayana take or argument about dreams. Maybe not, but it was an interesting thing. I've never really looked at that, you know, like I never looked it up and talked to Paul more about it.
Right.
But because someone, I remember in a practice period, was reading a dream yoga book, a Tibetan dream yoga book, and he was sort of like, you know, when you're concentrated enough, you don't even have dreams when you sleep, you know. But I think dreams, you know, they're something we wrestle with as humans.
Well, that's really interesting. And, you know, there's lots of different versions of all of this.
Yeah.
It's not like one thing, but I think he may have been trying to discourage, you know, getting into some
state,
some practice of trying to bring forth a dream, like in Tibetan dream yoga. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Rujing had a dream, you know, Dogen had dreams.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm tempted to share a dream from Dogen. I don't know.
Dream, why not?
Okay.
We're up for it.
But I was going to ask instead, if there's anybody online who has a dream.
Is there a hand there online that's floating in space?
No.
Oh, that's a cursor.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a dream there was a hand there, but it was a cursor. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is a little complicated. Well, first, to that question, any of you online have dreams you want to share? Gone once, gone twice. I know Nyozon has lots of
you're prepping this, you know, I just want to mention, you spoke 3.5 hours yesterday on this, and we just scratched the surface.
Oh, yeah.
There needs to be a reprise of
seminar
on this classical.
Well, no, but the thing is that, do I have this? Yes, I have it here. As I said earlier, any of you who want to can still register through the Ancient Dragon website for this seminar, and you will then receive a recording of the whole thing. So that's possible. But I'm going to share one last dream. This is from Dogen's extensive record, Eihikoroku, which is this massive collection of Dogen's teachings, like Shobogenzo, that are translated in the Shohaku. And he has several dreams in there, but and he doesn't exactly call them dreams, but clearly that's what's going on. He's in one of them. This is from 1243, just before he moved from Kyoto to start a Heiji in the north. He says, "Last night, this mountain monk Dogen struck the empty sky with a single blow. My fist didn't hurt, but the empty sky knew pain." So I guess Dogen had this macho side. But he doesn't call it a dream, but he describes something that happened last night. Okay. From the empty sky, a number of sesame cakes appeared and rushed to become the faces and eyes of the great earth. Suddenly, a person came to this mountain monk, to Dogen, and said, "I want to buy the sesame cakes." And Dogen said to him, "Who are you?" And the person replied to Dogen, "I am Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. My family name is Zhang, and my personal name is Li." That's like Smith and Jones. So the Bodhisattva of compassion is like an ordinary person. And Dogen said to him, "Did you bring any money?" And he said, "I came without any money." And I asked him, "If you didn't bring money, how can you buy? Can you buy them or not?" He didn't answer. He just said, "I want to buy them. I really do." So then Dogen, after recounting this, says to his assembly, "Do you totally, thoroughly understand the meaning of this?" Dogen had a great sense of humor, by the way, and you see it more in this extensive record. After a pause, Dogen said, "When Avalokiteshvara, Hanuman Bodhisattva of Compassion, makes an appearance, mountains and rivers on the great earth are not dead ashes. You should always remember that in the third month the partridges sing and the flowers open." So Dogen interprets this dream as when this Bodhisattva of Compassion appears, all of reality, the phenomenal world, is alive. And partridges sing in March. And after, we're just in autumn, but after winter, spring comes. So anyway, okay, that's this kind of dream from Dogen.
Thank you so much, Taigen, for this wonderful opening of this deep, beautiful dream. And we're happy you're here and sharing dreams with us. And you'll be back
next month,
or I think with Gabio, the rice cake, to be continued. It's interesting. A lot of food here, you know, Avalokiteshvara's or sesame cake, you know. So I think.
Are we going to have tea and treats?
We will. Afterward.
So we'll say the four vows.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you all.
Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. With us, way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.